E-Tidings Cosmos, good afternoon 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Island, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Thormila Falcharothansha. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. In a sound of the weekend, and within a dream of the night, there appeared unto me one like unto a gardener, who a rich green sapling unknown in my heart did plant. It flourished in a moment into a glorious fragrant fruit tree, which spoke to me, saying, "My world yours shall be," and it bowed for me to pluck. Oh my, oh me, I can say truly, none the alike erefore have I tasted. Saw a single engine plane flying away nice and slowly in a southerly direction. I imagined it was doing some ordnance survey mapping. And I thought, what if I could do an ordnance survey mapping of the landscapes of my mind, of my eyes, of my ears, my nose, my tongue, and my skin, of me in my entirety? What forms, what shapes would be revealed? Might I be surprised to learn that where I had thought my thoughts, intentions, and ideas to be unquestionably located, were not located there at all, but in another part of the body? For instance, something that I thought for sure to be located in the brain, I discovered to be located in, say, the tongue. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading some more from Prince Hamlet on the nature of things and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading from Prince Hamlet. He waxes desperate with imagination. Let's follow. 'Tis not fit thus to obey him. Have after. To what issue will this come? Something is rotten in the state of Denmark. Heaven will direct it. Nay, let's follow him. Where wilt thou lead me? Speak, I'll go no further. Mark me. I will. My hour is almost come, when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself. Alas, poor ghost! Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold. Speak, I am bound to hear. So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear. What? I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fast in fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end, like quills upon the fretful porpentine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. Lis, Lis, O Lis, if thou didst e'er thy father love. O God, revenge his foul and unnatural murder. Murder? Murder most foul, as in the best it is, but this most foul, strange and unnatural. Haste me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation of the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge. I find thee apt, And duller shouldst thou be than the fat weed that roots itself in ease on Leet Wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this? Now, Hamlet, hear. 'Tis given out that, sleeping in my orchard, a serpent stung me. So the whole year of Denmark is by a forged process of my debt ranked abused. But know, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown. O, my prophetic soul, my uncle! Aye, that incestuous, that adulterate beast, with witchcraft of his wit, with traitorous gifts, O wicked wit and gifts that have the power so to seduce, won to his shameful lust the will of my most seeming virtuous queen. O Hamlet, what a falling off was there! From me, whose love was of that dignity, that it went hand in hand even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts are poor to those of mine. But virtue, as it never will be moved, though lewdness court it in a shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sate itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft, methinks I scent the morning air. A brief let me be. Sleeping within my orchard, my custom always in the afternoon, upon my secure hour thy uncle stole, with juice of cursed Hebanon, in a vial, and in the porches of my ear did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with the blood of man, that swift as quicksilver it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body, and with a sudden vigour doth pass it and curd, like eager droppings into milk. The thin and wholesome blood, so did it mine, and a most instant tetter barked about, most laser-like, with vile and loathsome crust, all my smooth body. Thus was I, sleeping by a brother's hand, of life, of crown, of queen, at once dispatched, cut off even in the blossoms of my skin, unhouseled, disappointed, unalled, no reckoning made, but sent to my account, with all my imperfections on my head. Oh, horrible, oh, horrible, most horrible! If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. But howsoever thou pursuest this act, taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge, to prick and sting her. Fare thee well, at once. The glow-worm shows the matin to be near, and gains to pale his uneffectual fire. Adieu, adieu. Hamlet, remember me. This is a reading in continuity from the 1st century BC poem On the Nature of Things by the Roman poet and philosopher Titus Lucretius Carus. And on such grounds it is that those who held the stuff of things is fire, and out of fire alone the cosmic sum is formed, are seen mightily from true reason to have lapsed. Of whom, chief leader to do battle, comes that Heraclitus, famous for dark speech among the silly, not the serious Greeks, who search for truth. For dolts are ever prone, that to be wonder, and adore which hides beneath distorted words, holding that true, which sweetly tickles in their stupid ears, or which is rogued in finely finished phrase. For how, I ask, can things so varied be, if formed of fire, single and pure? No wit would help for fire to be condensed or thinned, if all the parts of fire did still preserve, for fire's own nature seen before in gross. The heat were keener with the parts compressed, milder again when severed or dispersed. And more than this thou canst conceive of naught, that from such causes could become, much less might earth's variety of things be born, from any fire soever, dense or rare. This, too, if they suppose a void in things, then fires can be condensed and still left rare, but since they see such opposites of thought rising against them, and are loath to leave an unmixed void in things, they fear the steep, and lose the road of truth. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Error, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" There was once a very bright woman of the Tipperary Landry who greatly enjoyed looking at everything differently. Her considerations clearly had a character all of their own, which could easily be distinguished from the views of her neighbours near and far. She used to say amazing things like, "The Galtymore Mountain is lower in height than a cluster of shamrock growing by a stream in a valley down and down the ways. The great river of the south is shorter in length than tea pouring from a teapot into a cup. The dolmens embedded here and there throughout the isle are lighter by far than dandelion orbs floating upon the wind. The ladybird strolling on the mossy stone on a boundary ditch is bigger than a horse there in the field. And who knows, she said, the horse to be way bigger than the steep cliffs of the western coast. And the shimmerings on the water, she said, are brighter than the sun which gave them life." And with such words and the like, she would happily go on and on without ever reaching an end. Now clearly she used to say some things that seemingly made no sense whatsoever, yet no doubt to her great sense did they make. She would say, "What can't be looked at from another way, be it from numerous ways, is not being properly looked at. If the Galtymore Mountain," she would say, "can it be seen to be lower in height than a cluster of shamrock growing by a stream in a valley down and down the ways, then it is not being properly looked at. If the great river of the south cannot be seen to be shorter in length than tea pouring from a teacup into a cup, teapot into a cup, then it is not being properly considered. If the dolmens embedded here and there throughout the isle cannot be felt to be lighter by far than dandelion orbs floating upon the wind, then they are not being properly weighed up. If the ladybird strolling on the mossy stone on a boundary ditch cannot be seen to be bigger than a horse there in the field, then the leap cannot be made to seeing the horse to be way bigger than the steep cliffs of the western coast. And if the shimmerings on the waters cannot be seen to be brighter than the sun, then what is being looked upon is not light." Now clearly she used to say some things that made no sense at all, yet then again a great deal of sense when thought out. And few in number were they who with hearing her words would ever wish to abjure from learning of her delightful procedures of the mind. So simply rest here with her words a while, for they will surely produce a sunshine smile. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will not stand afar off from yourself, nor will you hide from yourself, either in times of trouble or in times of ease. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And if someone you know is in hospital, go visit them. If a beloved parent is residing now in a nursing home, then go sit a while in their presence. Hold their hand, gently palm their brow, soothe their hair. Give them gazes full of love and words most familiar and precious. But above all, be a most attentive listener. Yet in the doing so of all, let not your own heart be broken. For your own life you must live, with health, with confidence, and with joy. And this is what for you they would want too. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus mbunacht leat.